This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As much as I love you, my brain is split down the middle. I'm a house divided. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Half of my brain is thinking about sports and the radio show, and they're really one and the same. I don't think about sports outside of the radio show, which is weird, but after 20 years of doing sports talk radio, I can no longer look at a game, any kind of a game, but specifically football, baseball, basketball, hockey, the Olympics, all the sports that I used to enjoy as a fan going back to when I was a kid, I can no longer look at them simply as a fan now. It's impossible. There's no way to separate my brain that is constantly thinking of sports talk, radio themes and topics and ideas and arguments and debates, observations. There's no way for me anymore to watch a game without thinking about the sports radio element of it. Isn't that crazy? That's why I'm no fun at Super Bowl parties, nor have I been to a Super Bowl party since the Cardinals and the Steelers, whatever year that was, 2009? Shoot, I don't remember now. That was the last Super Bowl party I went to, was Steelers-Cardinals, whatever year that was. And so I don't get invited to parties anymore because I'm working, but I also wouldn't go anyway because I need to be able to focus and take my notes like a good sports radio host does. But it's a privilege to have this job. It's certainly a privilege to work during the NFL season and definitely a privilege to be able to host on Super Bowl night. So I do not complain, but it's sort of funny that I'm going to a Thanksgiving dinner with 20 people who are all related. And then me, I'm the only outsider of sorts. And a few of them know what I do for a living, but I don't plan on talking about it. I would prefer not to. People think that just because this is all you know of me, people think that this is all I do all the time and all I want to do all the time. No, when I'm not working, I don't want to talk about sports. I like having family and friends that couldn't care less what I do for a living and don't even think it's that impressive. It's the best. And so I don't really want to talk about sports or football while I'm at this Friendsgiving dinner, but I have this feeling that the couple who invited me, they are the patriarch and matriarch of this family, that they're going to start telling people. So I actually said to Barry, can you just not tell anyone what I do for a living? Anyway, so I'm always in sports radio mode when it's a work night. But the other half of my brain, the one that's not sports radio and topics and storylines and the hump show, which is what we're about to launch into, the other half, dessert. Not because I want to eat it, though that is always the case. I'm never not interested in dessert. Seriously, true story. Never not interested in dessert. If something happens where I don't want to eat chocolate, you will know that I have lost it, gone off my rocker, or that I am demon possessed. It's one of those things because I'm always about chocolate and desserts. So on Tuesday, really proud of myself, I left work and went straight to the grocery store to try to beat whatever Thanksgiving rush there might be. And when I left the grocery store, Now, I already had some of the baking items because I have a little known secret about Amy Lawrence's kitchen. I have a baking drawer. It's a big, huge, deep drawer, and it's got all of my baking supplies, and I keep it stocked all the time because I never know when I might need to bake or what I might want to bake. And so as I'm at the store, I don't have to buy everything, but I think I might have overdone it with the apples. I'm going to have to make 3 walnut apple crisps because I came home with 2 3-pound bags of apples. You're only supposed to use 6 apples for the walnut apple crisp. Now, these are small, so I'd be using probably double, and I'm going to double the recipe. But still, that's not going to get me through 2 bags of apples. And so I might be making another one for the weekend just because I need to bring it in and share it with people. But I got the 2 3-pound bags of apples, 2 pints of ice cream, 1 vanilla, and 1, get this, caramel with sea salt, because the recipe recommends trying caramel ice cream. So that's it. I may be the only one eating walnut apple crisp with caramel ice cream, but I'm doing it.
I don't think you'd be the only one eating.
You don't
think
so?
That sounds incredible.
Ooh, I know. Doesn't it sound good? Okay, I'll share some of the second batch of walnut apple crisp with you. Then, Ready Whip. A large can of extra creamy Ready Whip, of course. I also went home with butterscotch because I'm making my oatmeal butterscotch cookies and oatmeal, by the way. And I went home with white chocolate chips because I thought maybe I'll do a version of the oatmeal with white chocolate chips because that also sounds delicious. Yeah, I went home with all of this, well, a full bag. Oh, pumpkin for the pumpkin pie, of course. A pie crust. No, I do not make my pie crust from scratch. I buy the dough and form it into a pie crust, and there we go. And I don't care if that's okay with you. I do enough baking. Someone else can make the pie crust.
Seems fair.
It does. And so I'm really excited because I've got all my supplies, and Wednesday night, we will not be here. I will not be here because I've got too much baking to do. 2 pies, 1 batch of cookies, and 1 supersized... Supersized what? Supersized portion? No, that would be for 1 person. A supersized recipe of walnut apple crisp with ice cream.
And that's all going to this Friendsgiving place?
That's all going to this Friendsgiving. Oh, I'm sure there are only 21 of us. Ha ha. I don't know how much will be left over. What do you think? What are the chances that I'll have any leftovers with desserts? 21 people, 2 pies. Let's just say for the sake of argument, a pie has 8 pieces. So even then, maybe not everybody gets pie.
It's not looking good for leftovers. Well, for people who want that pie who don't get there early.
Cookies and walnut apple crisp. But how many desserts do you legit eat at a Thanksgiving dinner?
Me personally? Or,
yes.
Well, let's see.
How many do you manage?
You got to have a little bit of multiple pies, I would say. You know, because usually there's more than one. So you got to try at least a little piece of all of them. And then with some ice cream, of course, and caramel with sea salt ice cream sounds really good. And then, you know, a couple cookies.
Later on when you're going back to leftovers.
You kind of dig around at everything. But with the pie, I think you got to at least try a little bit of each one. If you like it.
Yeah, for sure. If you're a coconut person, because it's coconut cream. And the reason I'm making that is because it's my all-time favorite. My grandmother made it for me when I was a kid. And pumpkin is standard. So those are the 2 pies I'm making. I figure, because they're starting with hors d'oeuvres around 11-ish, they're going with various hors d'oeuvres, cheese, crackers, yada, 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 wine, which I will not be drinking because I'm coming in at work to work that night. But then I think... By the way, no drinking alcohol at your Thanksgiving either because we're both working on Thanksgiving night. And I'm thinking if I put the cookies out, people might actually eat some cookies as hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah, I'd say so. Everyone's in the festive mood. A couple cookies with some cheese. Not a bad combo.
Yes. So that's what's on tap for Wednesday. I am so excited. I love baking. And I really do enjoy the process of putting all of these great creations together. And then I'm a show off. I like to show off my baking. My big fear is that the walnut apple crisp will suck. It's the first time I'm making it. So in that case, we'll just eat ice cream.
Nothing wrong with that. But I don't think it will suck because your bacon never does. So.
Well, thank you. That's a great vote of confidence. It's just that I've never made it. My big concern, and if anyone has any insight into this, I've never made an apple crisp before. I'm not peeling the apples because I actually like to leave the peel on the apples. I think it adds flavor and taste, not to mention nutrients. Anyway, so that's not my issue. My issue is that you cut the apples and they instantly start to oxidize. They get brown. And I'm not cooking right away because I have all these apples to cut. And so if I cut the apples and stick them in the crock pot and then drive to where I'm going and plug in the crock pot, won't the apples have turned brown by then?
How long does it normally take?
It'll take about, well, by the time I, let's just say I cut the first apple, yeah, and it takes me 30 minutes to cut all of the apples. That means those apples, at the very least, that I cut first will be sitting for an hour. But my mom says that you, at the least, my mom says you can use either water, you can put the apples in water, mm-hmm, or you can put the apples in vinegar, which is interesting. Does that mean they soak up the vinegar and then we need to Google this. How do you keep apples fresh after you cut them?
I would say water. Vinegar, I feel like they'd get, would compromise the taste.
I mean, this is the blind leading the blind, Jay. I have no idea what to do with them. So if anyone has any insight about how you keep the apples from turning brown, even as you're cutting them for the walnut apple crisp, you just let me know. Otherwise, I'm going to have to resort to the internet, the interwebs. So it is our hump show and I'm excited. I'm really fired up. Typically on the hump show, I'm tired and my wagon is dragging, but this is not one of those hump shows where I've done a faceplant into the hump. No, that is not the case. Instead, lots of extra adrenaline, probably sleep 2 or 3 hours on Wednesday morning and then get up and I've got leaves to rake and other cleaning to do even as I'm baking pies. So the order is going to be cookies, pumpkin pie, coconut cream pie, because it has to sit overnight in the fridge. And then we'll do the walnut apple crisp on Thursday morning. Really exciting. If you have any advice, well, you can find me on Twitter. I kind of feel hesitant asking that because I really don't need any advice much. I just need to know what to do with the apples. And no, I've decided I'm not going to wear the same Raf Simons sweater that Kyle Kuzma used to blow up the internet. If you missed our last show, somehow we spent 90 minutes talking about a sweater, but it wasn't just us. You all sent 500 plus comments about the sweater. Seriously, the sweater. And so we're not going to go down the sweater rabbit hole. I've decided I will not be wearing that to Thanksgiving. Instead, now I'm focused on desserts. Phew. Although, can I just say one more thing? And producer James, I feel as though this needs to be said. Because there was a repeated theme on our Twitter and our Facebook page about how Kyle Kuzma's dressing like a woman. I don't know if that's because it's pink, which is completely ridiculous and somewhat sexist because there's no rule out there that says men can't wear pink. And obviously, if you know me, you listen to me, I believe real men wear pink. I think men look sharp in pink, but that's just my personal opinion. However, pink is not a feminine color. It's not a girl color. Anyone can wear pink. But here's the thing that also drove me bonkers all day, reading the comments about how Kyle Kuzma's dressing like a woman or he has gender identity. I am a woman. Thank you for noticing. I have a bazillion female family members, friends, colleagues, coworkers, fellow church members. Not one of my female acquaintances or relatives has ever worn a sweater like that. So why would you say it's a female thing? Why is it a women's clothing? I don't know any women who dress like that. Yeah. Knock it off.
Honestly, Kyle Kuzma's outfit goes way beyond gender boundaries with that one. That's I don't even know what that is. That's not a man outfit. That's not a woman's outfit. That's just...
It's a hippo's outfit.
That's a hippo's outfit.
Trying to dress your pet giraffe, it's a parachute turned into a sweater. Stop it. It's not women's clothing. That's borderline sexist. And you know how I feel about sexism. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. So yes, any advice or tips about how to keep the apples from turning brown? Tom is in Nashville and says he's got the answer. Tom, help.
Hello, this is John.
Oh, John, I'm sorry. Producer producer James didn't hear you correctly, but I apologize. John, Tom, just John.
I've been doing this for 50 years, and what I do is I have a number of lemons. I cut them in half, and over each layer of apples that I cut, I just squeeze a little bit of lemon juice. They never turn brown.
So you put the lemon juice on the apples?
Yes.
Okay, I don't have to submerge the apples in the lemon juice.
Oh, not at all. You actually don't need too much. I usually use maybe a half to a little over a half of a lemon for a whole layer of apples.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. Now, do you later taste the lemon?
No, you don't. Matter of fact, because of the acidity, it brings out a little bit more of the sweetness in the apples.
Ooh, I'm very excited about this. And you said you've been doing this for 50 years. When you say that, what does that mean? You've been making an apple crisp for 50 years?
Well, apple pies. I haven't made apple crisps in quite a few years, but apple pies. And I used to live in Hanover, New Hampshire, and I used to travel to different people's places, especially on Thanksgiving, 30, 40, 50 minutes away. And so I always used to cut up all my apples, put lemon juice over them, then take it to their house, and then build the pie at their house.
Okay. Well, see, I don't want to do that because as much as I do know the family that's hosting, I don't know their extended family, and I don't know what kind of chaos is going to be in their kitchen. So I really do want to make this before I leave the house. I'm just going to plug it in when I get to their house. So, okay, I'm going to try the lemon juice.
It'll work.
That's exciting. By the way, Tom, I'm not sure if you know this, but I am a New Hampshire native.
I didn't know that. That's why I mentioned I lived in Hanover for 15 years.
Yep, so. And I actually worked in Hanover. Hanover is one of my first jobs in news and sports radio, so I'm familiar with the area. Hanover, Dartmouth was my first job covering sports on a regular basis.
That's where I taught.
Awesome. Well, that's really neat.
I'm sorry?
I was going to say that's really neat, so thank you for the tip.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you. I love your show.
You too, Tom. I appreciate the phone call. Is it Denny in Baltimore?
Yes, it's Denny, B as in boy, I-N-N-I-E. It's my real name, and I'm a real fan of yours, and I love your cooking stuff.
Oh, well, good, okay.
So I didn't realize that you were going to bake the apple crisp when you actually got to your destination.
Yes.
I see. It, ordinary stuff, like if you're going to bake an apple pie at home or something, and you're cutting up the apples, you take cold water and put the juice of a couple of lemons in there. And when you cut your apples, just, you know, cut them into the water. And then if you can make the pie, just, get them out of the water, with a strainer and put them in your pie shell. The lemon water will always keep them from browning. And I wouldn't suggest vinegar, honest. I think that would be kind of odd.
So you're suggesting that the apple slices be submerged in the water with a little bit of lemon?
Yes. I mean, if you're going to actually put it together there, right? So I would say, you have a watertight container.
I have I'll put it in the crock pot. I'll just throw everything in the crock pot. And then when I get there, I'll drain.
As long as it's covered and it's not going to slosh all over your car. I mean, because let's put it this way. If you were going to do it, today and to bake it tomorrow, you could cut your apples up. Put them in the lemon water and put them in the refrigerator. What's the difference?
Oh, they will keep for more than 24 hours?
I don't know if it'll be 20. That I don't know because I've never tried it that way. But I'm making a dish tomorrow that's honest to God from the Passover Seder. It's called Herosis, and it's apples, nuts, wine, and cinnamon and sugar.
Wow.
And I always, I peel the apples, as soon as I peel one, it goes in the lemon water. Then I take it out, cut it up, it goes back in the lemon water,
I like this. This is really impressive. Okay, so I have options then. I can either build it and just put the lemon juice, as our previous caller suggested, or I can put all the apples into some lemon water, and that way, when it comes time to put them in the crock pot, right before I plug it in, they're still fresh. Well, that's a great suggestion.
Yeah, because I would think that if you put lemon all over them when you're going to bake it, it just seems like it's going to be too lemony. You're not making a lemon meringue pie, you're making an apple crisp. So.
No, I've actually never made a lemon meringue pie because I don't like lemon. It's the only fruit. Oh, grapefruit. Lemon and grapefruit are the only two fruits I don't like.
I love lemon. I'm addicted.
Oh, fun. Well, this is a great suggestion, Benny, and it's so nice to talk to you for the first time. Thanks so much for listening to the show.
You're very welcome. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Thank you so much. Well, that's cool. I love when I ask these kind of off the beaten path questions that we always get people who've never called before, but they want to offer their expertise based on their experience. And that's amazing. So thank you for that. I now know what to do. Not vinegar. Lemon as a layer, depending on when I want to build the walnut apple crisp, or I can put them in lemon water. Okay. I could even do that the night before. So I'm not cutting all the apples on Thursday morning, on Thanksgiving morning. Well, maybe I'll take two crock pots worth. I do have a lot of ice cream. I figured two pints of ice cream was enough for 21 people, but maybe not, considering that I also have two pies with whipped cream, ready whip, and then the cookies as well. Who? What if it all disappears and I don't end up getting any dessert? All right,
oh, no.
Worst things have happened. I'll just go home and make another walnut apple crisp because I have all the apples.
Maybe worst things have happened, but that would be pretty bad.
Oh, you're just saying that because then there wouldn't be any left for you. That's good. Thank you, guys. And I'm also seeing your tweets, A-Law Radio. I appreciate that. On our Facebook page, that's another way that you can reach us if you have Thanksgiving tips. Again, if you're asking about our schedule or you're interested in our schedule, we're here tonight. We are not here on Wednesday night, Thanksgiving Eve, into Thanksgiving morning, but we will be back with you on Thanksgiving night. This is our hump show, which means we've always got the option for you to ask Amy anything, even though I'm the one asking you questions to start. But check out either Twitter or Facebook. You'll see the bright orange box where you can post your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Super easy. And we have a surprise for you that we're excited to share, although we're going to make it a little bit dramatic and leave it as a tease for a bit. But a big video surprise is all I will say for now. We'll share that coming up a little bit later on. We've got some news from the world of basketball, news that I'm so enthusiastic over. This, to me, is the story of the NBA season, plus the latest with QB injuries as we get ready to kick off week number 12, crazy enough. Thanks again for hanging out with us as you prepare for Thanksgiving, whether you're traveling now or you're even doing some of your pre-cooking and baking. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Nix with the ball. 9:18 to go in the first. Up 10-2. Julius Randle. Top of the key. Steps out. Finds Barrett. Barrett probing Davis on the switch. Finds Randle against the shorter Bradley. Six to shoot. Randle swings. Barrett left arc for three. And it's good. And the Knicks have opened 3 of 5 from downtown, leading 13-2. Knicks with the ball up by 10, over 4 gone by at the Garden. Randle at the right wing, underhands. Barrett, right wing, three-pointer is good. And Barrett, 2 for 2, both from 3, and the Knicks leading 20-7.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Might be the biggest win of the year for the New York Knicks over the visiting Los Angeles Lakers. Ed Cohen with the calls on Knicks radio. They race out to a 10-0 lead and then a 13-2 lead. And they built that lead as high as 25 points. It was a fat lead for a while. Ended up winning by 6 points in this game on Tuesday night. But good for the New York Knicks. The only caveat is there was no LeBron James because he was suspended for his role in that brouhaha with Isaiah Stewart when the Lakers played the Pistons in Detroit on Sunday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Julius Randle, huge game, 20 points, 16 rebounds, 5 assists, even though he had some foul trouble. And then Russell Westbrook finished with a triple-double. Carmelo Anthony, standing ovation inside Madison Square Garden, which I love. It's so funny because it seemed like they were so anxious to get rid of him, but they always welcome him back to his former home. Now, no LeBron James obviously changes everything for the Lakers. We know that because he spent a good portion of the first month being injured. Still, though, the Lakers can't figure out why he's the one who got this suspension, or that he also got a suspension, while Isaiah Stewart is serving two games and Lakers and Pistons play again on Sunday, which is sort of comical. The Lakers are still grousing over the fact that LeBron had to sit at all.
I don't think anyone thought he was going to be suspended, to be honest. I mean, I guess it was an accident, you know, accidentally hit him in the face. But I guess the report came out and said that his hit to the face caused the incident, you know, which is weird because he can't control how a guy's going to react. Guys get hit in the face all the time. And if we're saying that caused the incident, you know, I get hit in my face probably more than anyone. And if I go off and do all that, does the other guy who hit me in the face get suspended as well? If I'm not believing, like, it was strange, but no, we can do about it.
The voice of one Anthony Davis, who actually started this game, even though he had a fever, he wasn't feeling well, did not play well, didn't play a lot of minutes. And so the responsibilities fell on some of the other Lakers, who, again, ended up digging themselves quite a deep hole. LeBron actually disappointed to miss his second consecutive game at Madison Square Garden. He loves playing there. A lot of the guys around the league enjoy playing in New York, but he was hurt last season when the Lakers were at MSG. And so it's another missed opportunity for him, according to Frank Vogel. But big victory for the New York Knicks as they are now 10-8 and back to 500 at home. This is a team that I keep waiting to break out, considering what they did last year with their first trip around the sun in the Tom Thibodeau regime and Julius Randle and Derrick Rose and, of course, bringing in Kemba Walker. And I know they've had a bunch of guys injured, but one of the early stories that isn't quite playing out the way I expected. Lakers, same thing, though I do believe that because of the injuries to LeBron and then the fact that they've changed so many pieces in their lineup, they'll find their footing. It's such a long season. They're so early into it. Teams are now 18, 19, maybe 20 games. But yes, Isaiah Stewart missing two games. He had the bloody eye and the 9 stitches to go along with his insult. So it's adding insult to injury. And LeBron had to miss out on the one game because he initially threw the elbow that was deemed a flagrant 2. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you have a question for me, I asked a question of you and you responded in droves. Thank you so much. But if you have a question for me, and we tend to lean toward non-sports questions. In fact, producer James, I was thinking we might do a Thanksgiving or holiday theme, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, I was thinking something similar, so let's do it.
So then, if you're trying to attract the attention of producer James when you send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, you are better off if you make them a Thanksgiving theme, a holiday theme, maybe a holiday travel or a holiday food theme, because he'll be looking for those. Coming up top of the hour, this is really exciting. Well, exciting in that I love our guest that we have planned for you. Lawrence Holmes doesn't spell his name the same way, but we consider ourselves to be cousins. Lawrence Holmes from our Chicago affiliate, AM 670 The Score. He will join us because Matt Nagy is answering questions about his own firing. There's a report out there that he is going to be relieved of his head coaching duties with the Bears as soon as they get done with their Thanksgiving Day game against the Lions. We'll try to get to the bottom of that. Can his job be spared? Probably not. Will the Bears make this move in week 12? We're going to find out with Lawrence Holmes at the top of the hour, again, coming from Chicago. Straight ahead, your chance to hear the candidates for TD of the week yet again. We still have that live poll. In fact, I'll retweet it now, A-Law Radio. You can also find it on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, which is where you get the opportunity to send your questions for Ask Amy. So all of that on our show Twitter. If you somehow miss Kyle Kuzma's parachute, the pink parachute. You can find it on our show Twitter as well. And then it's got to be the most anticipated return since Alex Smith with the Washington football team. That's straight ahead.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Made a guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Southern Salting into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. Los Angeles Chargers.
This might be the final play for the Chargers before the two-minute warning if they keep the clock moving. They're in no rush. Two receivers left, two to the right. Herbert in the gun, gets the snap, he's back to pass, looking left, throws left, got a man wide open, it's caught. Down the sideline, 30, 25, 20, inside the 10, end zone, touchdown Chargers. Touchdown Chargers, it is Mike Williams. A 53-yard touchdown throw from Justin Herbert. And the Chargers have gone back in front. You've got to be kidding.
The Green Bay Packers.
Rodgers in the shotgun. First and 10 from the 25. Takes the snap. Looks. Lofts it. Deep over the left side.
He's got MVS. He's running down the left sidelines. It's Secretariat at the Belmont. No one will catch him. Touchdown, Green Bay.
The Baltimore Ravens.
First and goal at the Chicago 3. The Ravens are down to one timeout. It is first down. Ricard goes in motion. The give is to Freeman. Left side. Touchdown, Ravens. Devontae Freeman. And the Ravens have taken the lead.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
On second down, it's a handoff. Mixon finds a cutback lane to the 10. Swerving toward the end zone.
Yeah.
Touchdown, Bengals, with 3:51 to go, and that could be coffin nails.
Bam, bam, bam.
What is the After Hours TD of the week? The voting is still open for another couple hours. You have plenty of time. On the Hump Show, we will reveal. First, Chargers with the game winner from Justin Herbert to Mike Williams. Justin told him, be ready. The call with Ryan Radke on Westwood One. Even though it wasn't the game winner because there was a game-winning field goal by the Vikings after that, it was a stunning moment when Aaron Rodgers found Marquez Valdez-Scantling scampering up the left sideline. Unbelievable. One shot and the game was tied. That's Wayne Larrabee on Packers Radio. Jerry Sandusky on Ravens Radio with 22 seconds to go. Devontae Freeman into the end zone. A drive that was engineered by backup quarterback Tyler Huntley as the Ravens win without Lamar. And then Joe Mixon saves the day. The Bengals come off their bye. They win in Las Vegas. Dan Horton, Dave Lapham with his second touchdown seals the win over the Raiders. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. We've got the poll on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter. But if you go to our show Twitter, that's where you find the post for Ask Amy Anything. It's easy to respond to, so send your questions to either Twitter or our MetaFace page. I just pinned it to the top of MetaFace, so it's easy to find there as well. Bright orange box. Orange because it's my favorite color. Orange because it's Thanksgiving. Orange just because it's cheerful and therapeutic. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. What makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination? Because they offer free battery testing and charging and reliable replacement batteries. They've always got your battery solution. Get in the zone. AutoZone. I don't have an actual date so that I can begin a countdown, but the closer we get to Christmas, the more excited I get, the more I'm full of anticipation for the return of one of my favorite basketball players. I cannot believe we have not seen him in a game since June of 2019.
Curry to Thompson, Thompson to the rim, goes up, he got fouled from behind, trying to dunk it. Danny Green with the foul, and Thompson's hurt.
Oh, he's
hurt.
His left knee. Tim, he is really hurt.
It was a stunning moment, and even when Klay Thompson went down in the NBA Finals against the Toronto Raptors, I still was holding out hope that it was not going to be a serious knee injury. As if that wasn't enough, he's weeks away from returning in the fall of 2020 when he's running full court in Los Angeles with some other NBA guys and he's trying to get in shape again, tears his Achilles. There were tears, not just from Klay, but Steph, Steve Kerr, knowing that instantly he would be on the shelf for another year. And not just that, another year of surgery and rehab and recovery. If you know anything about Klay Thompson, you know he is a gym rat. The only thing the guy wants to do is play basketball. And so what a banner day for Klay, for his family, for the Warriors, for the NBA, that he was cleared for the very first time to run full court with his teammates in practice. His very first unlimited practice with the Warriors going back to the early summer of 2019. Man, it had to be good to get out there and scrimmage with his guys.
It's really exciting, and I got to stay patient because I can be an overeager person to get out there and play, but I'm just incredibly grateful to be out there, and the work the training staff and I have done over the last 2 years is really paying off, and I'm just, it's hard to put into words how grateful I am to be playing basketball again.
If you follow him on social media or you've seen some of the posts the Warriors have put out there, you know this guy is so anxious to be playing again. That's why to me it's an even more painful injury and even more painful absence than maybe someone else who doesn't care quite as much. For him, it's not about the money. For him, it's just about playing hoops. And the fact that he was so close to returning from the ACL and to have it so cruelly ripped away with weeks to go, just one of those freak injuries that we see often with athletes that really it just kind of reminds you that it's a job hazard when you play pro sports or even when you play college sports, but pro sports for a living. And as some athletes tell me, it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when you have that serious injury. A lot of them will say it's about luck. And I know that when I played college ball, we would have women teammates who would tear their ACLs simply by stepping wrong. I saw one young woman do it in a walkthrough. She wasn't doing anything different. She was just walking, but planted oddly on her knee. It was a bad angle and the ACL popped. Another time I was, I still hate this, but I was doing a drill, a one-on-one drill. I was backpedaling on defense and my teammate was coming forward with a ball, dribbling, stepped on my foot, tore her ACL. That's all it took. And so these injuries, they can happen in such freak manners. And it's so frustrating because you just think, oh, if I hadn't stepped or if I hadn't done this or I hadn't done that, but I mean, that's the nature of the beast. It's the nature of sports. But at this point, Klay is raring to go, and he feels good.
I feel great. I'm knocking shots down. I'm playing great defense. I'm playing defense. The hardest part is just simulating a game and that conditioning that goes with being a great NBA player. It's hard, and it's definitely a thing that takes time.
I love that. I'm playing great. I'm playing defense. Though when he's healthy and in game shape, he is one of the best two-way guards in the NBA, or he was. I hesitate to say it now because I want to assume he's going to come back the same or even better. Think about Kevin Durant. All the questions, the whispers about whether or not Durant would be the same guy coming off a torn Achilles. And while it took him 2 years really to get back into form, he did in fact get back to KD, one of the best players in the world, form, and now he's killing it once again. So I hope that is the case with Klay. But when will we see him on the court with his teammates?
It's really hard to say because it's definitely a feel thing. It's hard to just put a date on it, but who knows when it could be, but it will be in the first half of the season, hopefully the first trimester.
That's a funny word. I've never heard anyone use that before, but Christmas has been the date. If it's a few days before or it's a few days after, still, I would be thrilled. It would be epic if we saw him return on Christmas Day, but it doesn't necessarily need to be then. They're taking it a day at a time. What was the toughest part of this rehab and recovery process, Klay?
I think it was more mentally hard than it was physically. I can do the work. I can be in the gym all day, but having to sit there and watch, it's not fun, especially for anyone who likes to compete and likes to win.
Says it all, doesn't it? And just like Alex Smith, and I know his injury was life-threatening. Literally, his life was hanging in the balance after his broken leg and the compound fracture. And so I'm not comparing the two injuries, but I am comparing this comeback process and the fact that it's been 2 years. And Klay, such a major piece of the NBA, not just the Warriors, but the NBA, and a guy who's been a great defender, an all-NBA player on both sides of the court, and so instrumental as the other half of the Splash Brothers as the Warriors went to 5 straight NBA finals and were able to win 3 of those. This is something I will not miss. I absolutely will not miss his return. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And honestly, with the Warriors having the best record in the NBA, you throw Klay back into the mix and potentially James Wiseman soon as well. 2 more starters. How much better will this team be?
Oh my God! What just happened?
It's going to be can't miss basketball because of the Warriors brand, not necessarily because of Klay, but that's a whole nother element. Do we have time for one quick Matt Nagy as we head up toward the top of the hour? Because Nagy has been asked about reports that are floating around that he'll be fired right after the Thanksgiving Day game.
That is not accurate. You know, I have not, I have great communication with ownership, with George and Ted and Ryan, but I have not had any discussions.
Coach Matt Nagy of the Chicago Bears was asked whether or not he's spoken to management. He said, not this week. We do keep in touch on a periodic basis, but we can't this week because it's such a quick turnaround from Sunday's loss to Baltimore, the Bears' 5th in a row, to this early, early Thursday game. We're not talking Thursday night. We're talking they have to be on the road in Detroit. Not a long trip, but they have to be on the road in Detroit to be ready to kick off at what is noon Eastern time on Sunday. And so we're talking about a very tight turnaround. To that end, we are headed to Chicago next. Lawrence Holmes of our Chicago affiliate, AM 670 The Score. He hosts the noon to 2 Central Time show on The Score. He's also got the House of L podcast. He's fired up about the Chicago Bears. We'll ask him about Matt Nagy's reaction and what he's heard as someone who covered the Bears for a long time. That's straight ahead. It's The Hump Show, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.